listen to Alan for Breakfast wherever you are. Download the Triple M app now.
The Melbourne International Comedy Festival is headed to here in the southwest to Bunbury. And I've got one of the comedians that are going to be performing on the night, Ben Knight, on the line. Good morning, mate.
Morning. Thanks for having me.
Mate, I'm very excited to get you over here. You're a very funny man. I understand you used to be a teacher, right?
Correct.
So,
be a primary school teacher.
Primary school. So my question is, when did the jokes start coming to you? After you quit the gig or during the job as a teacher?
I guess the jokes did subliminally come whilst I was a teacher. But I started comedy when I was travelling. I used to write, I was a kind of singer-songwriter as well. So I went travelling after I was teaching in the North Queensland in the Indigenous community.
Mm-hmm.
And then I went travelling and then I just started writing silly songs and then I came back home and people liked them. So I had a crack at that.
Where did the silly songs come from?
I was living in a small Mayan community in Guatemala in the middle of nowhere. And so I was like, I don't know if I was hallucinating or what. I didn't know whether they were funny or not because no one else was speaking English. And then I just started travelling in hostels and people liked them. And I was like, okay, cool. Maybe they are funny.
No, that's excellent, mate. I enjoy one you're talking about, I guess, the power of what an A represents, the way the letter A, how it sounds, and that versus, like, in different context, how it works. You made the English language very confusing for me in that quick two-minute song.
Oh, Mr. A, yeah, that one went good. That went a little bit viral, that one. That was cool.
Yep, absolutely, mate. Now, as a comedian, I can't help but notice that you just also happen to be a red-headed comedian. Do you use much of that in your act?
Of course I do. And I've got a red-headed girlfriend, so that helps, doesn't it?
Well, that's good news, because I saw news, and you would have seen this news as well, is that there was a sperm bank in Denmark that was not wanting any more red-headed sperm donors anymore, because they had too much,
so
they didn't
funny.
Want it.
That's so funny, it's absolutely hilarious. But yeah, now they're calling out for ginger sperm donors again.
I think it's the Prince Harry situation. You must be loving that,
Prince Harry. It's crazy.
Someone that everyone will start getting all hot for a redhead. You're like, yes, time to cash in. Brilliant.
Yeah, cash in on the Ed Sheeran Prince Harry train. Yeah,
that's exactly it, mate. What else can we expect from your act here in Bunbury?
In Bunbury, music, ginger jokes, it's lots of fun, lots of laughs. I don't really know I don't want to give my jokes away. I'm trying to think of all my jokes. I'll give away the punchlines.
Yeah. It's always like that. I've noticed, I was actually talking about this with a couple of radio announcers, why comedians are kind of hard to interview, because we don't want to give away any of the jokes that you got coming up.
And
then we're like, do we just give you, do we just give you a five-minute set? Do we just like...
Yeah, just let me do a five-minute set. Yeah, exactly.
That's exactly. I should just do that next time. Triple M Alpha Breakfast and take it away, Ben Knight, and just leave it with
exactly.
You.
And here's my five-minute set. There you go.
That's exactly it.
I'm a bit of a nerd as well. So, there's, I played a lot of sport growing up, but I was super nerdy. So, a bit of stuff on toxic masculinity, I guess. Oh. Like, growing up in Queensland, being, a real nerd. But, getting sunburned all the time, just as a ginger on growing up on the Sunshine Coast as a ginger was an absolute nightmare.
Well, mate, it's nice and cold here, so you're going to love it. We're looking forward to seeing you, mate. Thanks for the chat today.
Killer, thank you.
I've got Olivia Maragna on the line, who is a money expert and financial advisor, to chat all things about the budget. From what I understand the basics of it, Olivia, we've all just got $560 a year. Woohoo, party time. Is that right?
Look, it seems very simple, doesn't it? Look, a lot of people think it's just small tax cuts, but I'll give you an example because I've looked at the analysis of this. We've got a seven-year tax plan. If you're on, say, for example, $90,000 a year, it's actually $2,660 that you get in the first 4 years, another $1,350 the following 2 years, and then you get $675 per year after that. If you're a bigger earner, let's say about $196,000, you're getting $540 in the next 2 years, $4,000 in the following 2 years, and then nearly $7,000 a year benefit. So huge tax cuts. So a lot of people are talking about this $10 a week, but they're actually much bigger.
Yeah, I had no idea. Geez, I was just planning to buy burgers every week, but now I might actually start to invest it or something crazy.
Absolutely. You've got to get the best return on your buck, that's for sure.
Absolutely. Now, all right, so that's one of the wins. Let's talk about a couple of the losses then.
Well, I think in terms of losers, so New Start recipients obviously were ignored last night, so big calls there to try and increase New Start allowances, so they missed out. But look, the government, I guess, from a welfare point of view, is really cracking down on cheats. So an additional $373 million from welfare recipients in data matching activities with the tax office. So that's where they match data to make sure that you're not receiving benefits that you're not entitled to. The other big one is the black economy. So the government's looking at cash users. So basically from July, they're going to introduce a $10,000 limit for cash purchases made to businesses. So anything above that has to be done by electronic funds transfer or something that's a little bit more traceable for the government.
Yeah, so you can't do it on the dodge anymore. That's very interesting.
But look, a lot more winners. So we've got our winners from a super fund point of view. So people who have got smaller balances, younger workers with smaller balances, they're abolishing exit fees if you want to try and consolidate your superannuation. Looking at opting in for insurance. So a lot of people with smaller balances say, look, if you look at the fees and the insurance premiums, my superannuation gets eaten away. The government's going to be protecting that a little bit more going forward. Also a fee cap on account balances less than $6,000 in super as well. Good news for self-managed super funds, reduced fees and audit fees. If you've got a good compliance record, good news for craft beer drinkers too.
Oh, yeah, all right.
reduced tax there as well. But also in terms of those superannuation savings, new incentives for people who have balances under $300,000 to make extra contributions into super, even though they don't make meet a work test as they get closer to retirement as well. Some great pension work bonus plans, which means you can work more but not affect your pension from that point of view.
That's great.
And then also, which I always think is an interesting one, the pension loan scheme, which is kind of like spending the kids' inheritance. The government is basically opening it up to self-funded retirees and maximum rate age pensioners to be able to use the equity in their home to boost their income in those retired years as well. So, look, I think there's a lot of winners. Small business are winners as well. You know, those taking medicines, shareholders are a big one. So Bill Shorten came out about a month ago and said he was going to abolish refunds for imputation credits. Scott Morrison last night said we're not going to change that, so good news for shareholders there as well. So I think it's a very pleasing budget for a lot of people. And you can look, you can pick it to death and find the negatives in a lot of things, but I think, you know, this is a pre-election budget and they've done really well to sort of help a lot of people.
No, excellent. Well, thanks for your time, Olivia. We do appreciate it.
Absolute pleasure. Pals, furry
pals. I've now got in the studio with me Dr. Braden. Morning, mate. How are things going for you?
They're going pretty well. Yeah, we're keeping busy and out of trouble, which is where we want to be.
Yeah, you do. Well, I mean, yeah, busy is always good, I guess. Of course, Bunbury and Eaton Vet Clinic, always busy. The thing that we're going to talk about today, I think, is something that you would like to be a lot busier with, and that is vaccinations.
Yeah, that's definitely something we need to be busier with because we're seeing a decrease in the number of animals being vaccinated.
Oh.
And that, some of that, I guess, flows on from the anti-vaccination movement that people are experiencing as well.
Ugh.
And part of that is we're seeing a resurgence in diseases that we haven't seen for a long time. So distemper is making a comeback. Some of the cat flus are becoming more common, and it's something that it's so easy to prevent it. We just need to be vaccinating all our pets properly.
I'm one of those people that I just kind of forget when my animals due for those vaccinations. Do you have like a system in place that people can remember that sort of stuff?
Yep. Yeah, I mean, I find I have to set reminders for myself. I mean, being a pet owner myself and busy, it's amazing how fast a year goes by. So we have automatic reminders set up. So when you have a vaccination done with us, and most vets have this, they'll set the next reminder for you. So come time for your next pet's next vaccination, it's going to be sent out to you automatically.
That is exactly what I'm talking about. That's what I need.
Yeah.
I'm terrible for it. I always forget. What else when it comes to vaccinations? What's some of the pros for it as well?
I mean, the main pro is it's incredibly protective. I mean, probably the main thing that we've seen over the last few years here is parvovirus, and the vaccine against parvovirus is incredibly effective. We very, very, very rarely see a case of parvovirus in a vaccinated dog. I've seen one in 20 years of being a vet. In the meantime, I've seen hundreds and hundreds of animals die from the infection or suffer for days or even weeks as we treat them. And yeah, it's just such a frustrating thing for us to have to manage where we know we can prevent this. There's no real reason not to be vaccinating and protecting our pets.
Because I had heard that was kind of on the rise, and you're saying if we get a vaccination done, then it won't be.
Yep, no, we can easily stop this. And getting herd immunity is such an important thing because occasionally we'll see parvovirus in pups that are too too young to have been vaccinated.
Mm-hmm.
But that's because we don't have the adequate population vaccinated. So we need 80% of dogs in the community to be vaccinated. And that's going to protect that small percentage that are either too young or have got various illnesses which prevent them from being vaccinated.
How often do dogs, well, let's focus on dogs for a second, do they need vaccinations?
Once they're adults, they only need a parvovirus deferens hepatitis vaccination every 3 years. We know that the vaccines last at least that long. Sometimes if people are particularly worried about over-vaccinating their dogs, if they feel that 3 years is too frequent for them, what we can actually do is we can do something called a titer test, where we take a blood sample, test it for antibodies, and that can tell us if they've still got protection, so whether they actually need that vaccination at that point. So a lot of dogs will actually have more than 3 years immunity, but we know that every dog will carry immunity for at least 3 years. So we know 3-yearly vaccines is safe and very effective.
So technical. So you're sitting there testing the blood. Wow, I didn't know you guys did that. That's incredible.
Yeah, no, it's something that we don't do a lot because we know that the vaccines are very effective and it is quite an expensive blood test.
Mm-hmm.
It's something that certainly we can do in particular cases if people are worried or if the dog's maybe got an autoimmune condition or something which makes us worry about the vaccination and we don't want to give a vaccination unnecessarily.
Absolutely. Well, to put a bow on this, the lesson today, get your animals vaccinated.
That's it. It will save your money in the long run and it could save your pet's life.
Absolutely. If you want to book an appointment, they can always do so with you at bunburyvets.com.au. Thank you very much for the chat today.
Thank you for your time.
We've got Annetta on the line from Consumer Protection. Good morning, Annetta.
Good morning.
Now, today we will talk about Mother's Day in particular. Well, I mean, it is coming up this Sunday, but when it comes to delivering flowers, some warnings.
Yes, we do get complaints of Consumer Protection around things like Valentine's Day, Mother's Day and the like about flowers turning up late, if at all, or even dead on arrival. So in 2017, we had a total of 42 complaints from consumers about floral deliveries, and that was doubling the complaints for the previous year. So ordering flowers means you mainly have to deal with an ordering company. They'll then contact a local florist and a courier company to organise the delivery. But the problems occur if the ordering service isn't set up to deal with high volumes or if there's a breakdown in communication chain or if the specific flowers you ordered are not available locally and that kind of thing.
Okay, fair enough. So I guess what's some red flags that you'd notice if you go to one of these websites?
Well, you just need to be careful about specifying delivery dates and that sort of thing. Dealing with an online ordering company that's based overseas means you may find it difficult to exercise your consumer rights if anything goes wrong, even though those rights do exist. So you might want to buy local from an established and reputable florist. They've got a physical location. You can view the quality of the product and do it that way. If the flowers don't turn up on time or if they're wilted, the consumer law gives you a right to a remedy. But a refund or delivery at a later date is probably not going to work if it's missed out on Mother's Day. And there's the other thing to be really careful of as well when dealing with ordering online from companies. Do plenty of research because we know these companies do take advantage of those kind of events. We saw a recent fake website set up to take advantage of Anzac Day.
Oh, wow. Okay. So, yeah, definitely something to steer clear of. Excellent. Well, Annetta, thank you so much for that.
No problem. And just remember, take a screenshot or photo of the flowers you're buying, keep a copy of your receipt, and consider paying by credit card or by PayPal so you can request a chargeback if they don't turn up.
Perfect. Thank you.
Thank you.
Alan for breakfast. For breakfast.
Hey, good morning. As we do move through a Wednesday, a hump day, and plenty more coming up, we're going to surprise a mum very, very soon with a hamper. Massive, massive thank you to the Lolly Lovers Factory for putting that together. These look stunning. If you love your candy, this is for you. And I love my candy, so it's for me.
Yeah, they're very appealing, aren't they?
Yeah. And if you want to order one, not too late. Not too late to order one as well. I literally just saying this on air yesterday. I ordered a New Zealand-themed one because they have all the Kiwi lollies as well because my mum's a Kiwi, so I can just...
And Whittaker's chocolate.
She'd be like, oh, choices, boo. And I'll be like, you nailed it, mum. You don't normally speak like that. A bit weird for you to bust those words out. She's like, no problems, mate. Something like that.
I don't even try, mate. My girlfriend's in the North Island.
Oh, is she?
The Kiwi accent and me attempting it, barred in my house.
Yeah, okay.
Just for the best, trust me.
Well, true is. No, well, I'm Kiwi.
Yeah,
but
you can get away with it.
I don't know. Every Kiwi listening right now is probably just turned off. I don't need this. This guy is an idiot. A royal wedding update. Well, now we have our foreign correspondent on the line, Mr. Jeremy Butterworth. Good morning.
Good morning.
We are continuing on with the countdown to the royal wedding, mate.
We certainly are, Alan. We are 10 days away from the royal wedding, and it looks like Meghan Markle is weaning Prince Harry off meat as part of a strict royal wedding diet. She even signed him up to an exclusive gym.
Wow, okay. I mean, you want to look the best you can on your wedding day. Makes a lot of sense.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And let me tell you, Alan, there will be no chubby hubby here, as Prince is becoming a lean, mean, marrying machine. Harry has switched the fries for kale, the baked potato for kale, and the chicken for, you guessed it, kale.
Yeah, kale's pretty healthy. Makes sense.
Absolutely, yes. And look, the rumour has it that Harry has already lost 3 kilos. Isn't that something, Alan?
3 kilos? Yeah, that is quite a lot. Yeah, wow, I'm surprised.
Just looking at recent pictures of him, you have to wonder where the weight is coming from. There's not exactly much to him, is there? I hope that he doesn't pass out on the big day. Plenty of water, young Harry.
Yeah. You know what? Like, you're right. He is a pretty lean dude, so I don't know where it's come from as well. You make a good point. How's Meghan going? How's all her wedding preparation?
You can't just ask about Meghan's weight loss,
no,
Alan.
No. That's not what I meant. I just meant in general.
I don't care what you meant. That is very anti-2018 of you.
Look, it wasn't about her weight. I just meant her preparation for the wedding, just in general.
Look, as far as I'm concerned, the only dead weight Meghan needs to drop is her extended family. Ta-da now. 10 days, Alan.
Thank you very much, Jeremy Butterworth. Jeez, I did not mean weight loss at all. That was not what I was implying anyway.